Masculinity is beautifully complicated. Society is attempting to deconstruct it. We are here to rebuild it.
The truth is, every man needs a masculine renovation to become a place of protection, provision, and safety for others. But you need a plan, the right tools, and a crew to help.
Together, we will uncover two maxims of masculinity, the truth of it and the character of it, so that you can withstand the weight of reality and the storms of life.
You are designed with unimaginable ability, capacity, and potential. But do you have the courage and strength to do the necessary work, the hard work of becoming a renovated man?
We believe you do. The time is now, gentlemen.
Let's get to work.
What's up, my guy?
What up, dude?
How you doing today?
Living a dream, man.
So you worked all day. You astound me.
You just want to make me sound foolish now.
No,
man.
You work all day at a high-end steakhouse.
Yeah.
And you don't eat one crumb today.
I literally haven't put anything to eat in my mouth, man.
Why
is that?
It's the
most ridiculous thing. What I did have today was actually about 4 or 5 glasses of water, which is way off track. And then I had a Diet Coke.
That's it? It's unbelievable.
Looking at food all day long, man. You just sometimes, man, as stupid as it sounds, you just forget to eat.
I mean, this is not just a normal steakhouse. I mean, this is good food.
Yeah, it is, man.
And you're surrounded by it.
Yeah.
And then you don't partake of it.
You just literally block it out, man. It's like those people that have those houses on the mountain and have that great view, and you're standing there for like 30 minutes looking out the window going, this is beautiful. And then they walk over and they go, man,
what is it really about that? Like when I go back to some place that I lived, I used to live in Lexington, Kentucky, and go back and you see all the things that you took for granted.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I lived here and that was there and we didn't really go do that. Sometimes I feel that way about Nashville.
Really?
Is that all the things that people come here to see.
Yeah.
I've never done those things.
What?
I know. It's like, man, I work here every day, you know?
Yeah.
It's the
That's
unbelievable.
You.
I even muted
That's you.
My computer. Anyway.
I'm just pleased with myself because this is a thing that I really worked hard at, you know, putting away. And JT just seems not to be able to get it put away. I don't know what it is.
It's the popularity and the fame.
I don't know. Just people texting me all the time. Reached out to.
Yeah. Speaking of.
Yeah.
That didn't really mean anything.
Okay.
But I had a friend one time. He said, you know how you change the subject when you're talking to someone, anytime you can change the subject.
Yeah.
I go, man, how you do that? He said, say, while we're on that subject, and completely change the subject. He goes, one, it kind of shocks them a little bit, so they don't say anything, and you can just say what you need to say and change the subject.
And then it adds humor because everybody goes, that wasn't on the same
that wasn't
subject.
On, yeah. So while we're on that subject,
yeah,
you want to say something you were mentioning, the Facebook group earlier and the engagement of it and how you've enjoyed
that.
I do,
man. Yeah. Like the Facebook group has really been getting some traction lately, and I've been saying hello to a bunch of new guys. But I just want to remind everybody, if you're looking for a space to dip your toe in to get a band of brothers, you can do it virtually if you just come and join our private Facebook group. And it's private. It's 100% men. And it's Renovating Masculinity on the Facebook platform. And then you can follow us on any other socials, Twitter, Instagram. You can see all of our episode art that a lot of it JT has done himself, man, but it's great episode art. And you can thumb through there and see episodes that might be important to you. And then also there's several ways that you can really contact us. You can go to our website and hit us on email. You can message us on any other platforms. And as well, you know, we did it under protest, but we actually did come up with a Patreon page. And it's a way that you can reach out and support what we're doing, because we do this because we have a level of passion about it.
Yeah.
So it's 100% a passion project. And it's not something, man, that we've given to someone else and say, hey, buy this out and we'll just, you know, tout whatever you want us to tout. I mean, this is about you and the significant things that you need in your life. So that's what the Patreon page is. And there's 3 different levels. And the top level is kind of the most significant, where you get to have personal coaching time with JT. And from time to time, I'm available on there as well.
And for those who've already signed up, man, thank you. We are actually getting started on that. So look for some emails and stuff to come your way. We are actually kind of shocked that people would actually do it. like, let's throw this out there. And people actually signed up for it. It's like, yeah, okay, wow. So speaking of direct messages.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a good lesson. This is a good life lesson that I think, and I'm just, you know, sometimes we want to get past a struggle or past something before we start talking about it.
We want to go back and talk about the victory.
Yeah, and how we did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just like to go, hey, man, here's where I'm struggling. You know, let's just talk through it because it helps me.
Yeah.
So let me just say this. I got a direct message from somebody. He's not a friend. He's an acquaintance. And it sent me over the edge.
And I went with you.
Listen, well, you went with me. I didn't tell you until today.
Yeah.
On purpose. But this happened a couple days ago. And, I mean, I stewed all day.
Yeah, man.
I immediately responded. And then I deleted it.
So
and then
smart.
I responded again. And then I deleted it.
Yeah.
Then I responded one more time. That was the harshest of them all because I got madder and madder.
Yeah, man.
Because I couldn't believe that someone that didn't know me would say something like he said. But I called one of my best friends, Ken. He listens to this podcast all the time. And I told him, you're going to have to talk me off a ledge because I'm about to drive to someone's house.
Because he's nearby.
You know, actually, I don't know where he lives.
Oh, okay.
So it tells you how much that.
Yeah, relationship. Yeah. Yeah.
That I care for him. And I said, I'm about to figure out where this guy lives and go to his house and we're going to go toe to toe. That's just the bottom line. Because my personality is such a fighter. You know, at first, you know, I can get riled up pretty quickly, especially when it comes to some comments made about my family. So just for context, I got a direct message on Facebook and basically he was questioning, he didn't feel that one of my kids was representing me very well. Is that a good way to say it?
I think so.
And he said it
without
in such a way
specific.
That was very, very, very inappropriate.
You know how when your boss pisses you off for something at work, and then you have like 3 or 4 days, man, to kind of contemplate your response.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just gets more and more like aggressive and more just dingy and dirty and in your face. Like you come up with this scenario, man, where you're just going to check them up and you're going to say everything that you wanted to say in regard to this particular issue. It seems to me that that's what he did. So I don't know how much time passed between like the incident that he's addressing and the time that he actually responded. How much time passed between those two things?
Oh, just a day.
One day.
Yeah.
So he ginned up this much vitriol and just intentional get in your facism over one day, man.
Mm-hmm.
Did that? When you read it to me, I thought you were joking, man.
You did. You said, there's no way somebody wrote that
like,
about you.
Like, not an adult male talking to another adult male, because basically what you're saying is, come and get me.
Yeah.
Like, whatever weapon you have, grab it, because it's time for us to have a showdown. I just can't believe that people actually talk like this.
Yeah. And, you know, from the first sentence, which was, I'll paraphrase, it was basically, I know this is going to sound harsh, which is why I didn't address this to your wife.
Yeah. It's like saying, I'm not racist, but.
It's like, what? You actually would think about saying this to my wife?
I didn't like that he mentioned your wife's name.
Oh, no, no.
Twice.
Yeah, as if. Anyway, I mean, just the start of that. And again, I'm using me as an example because I think all of us, everyone listening to this, can be judgmental at times.
Yeah.
We don't think that we're being judgmental, but we are being judgmental.
Yeah.
And we'll go over that in a minute. But
and this, don't forget this part, this is slightly related to social media.
Yes.
So that's another thing that, you know, that keyboard courage that people talk about.
Yeah,
so
keyboard
was,
warrior.
Yeah, he was completely full of that keyboard courage.
And then his next sentence was something like, man to man. I'm like, man to man?
Through Messenger?
Yeah. It's like, okay. I mean, your definition of man to man and my definition of man to man is way different.
Right.
Because I would say, hey, let's grab some coffee.
Absolutely.
Face to face, eyeball to eyeball. and let's talk about this, because I feel so deeply about this, because out of concern for you, man, I got to sit and talk with you. Now, that's somebody who is after, this is redemptive.
Let's walk out of this and both be better.
That's right. Let me learn, and let me ask some questions sure. so that I don't assume I know what's going on
yeah.
based on a post or based on whatever, right? But that wasn't it. It was, no, man to man, let me say something to you over direct messenger.
I know it's going to sound harsh, but I want to say it man to man. And I'm not going to tell your wife.
Yeah.
Because it's so harsh. That's why I want to tell you.
So if it wasn't harsh, you would tell my wife.
Yeah, you just go around me.
Yeah, and he said, it was real funny. He said something like, let me be straightforward with you. I mean, just things like that over direct messenger or over Instagram messenger or yeah. what. You're not being straightforward. You're being a coward sitting behind a keyboard because you can say things that you would not say in front of somebody's face. It's like Mike Tyson said a couple months ago, I don't know when he said it. It's like we've gotten so used to not being punched in the face for something we say.
Yeah.
Because we sit behind a keyboard and can think we can say whatever we want to say because we actually don't know those people well enough for them to come see us.
It was when he tuned that guy up on the airplane.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
The guy that kept on getting in his face.
But my point in this, and then he pointed out, I can't believe that you would. It's almost like I would allow one of my kids, to be like this. It's like, you don't know.
Sure.
You have no idea. I have five children.
Yeah.
Like you have no idea the struggles, the victories, all the things that go on. I always say, you hear me say all the time, you never know what's going on behind a front door. So there's a lot of things that go on behind a front door of a house that's never brought out into the world. And that's struggles, that's victories, that's arguments, that's battles, that's therapies, that's all kinds of things that happen that create the atmosphere of that house. And it's like you can't fight every battle with your kids, right?
Yeah. And this is incredibly vague, just the way that we're discussing it and trying to roll it out to you. But I think maybe one of the ways to bring it home is that you would have someone that's loosely connected to your family, and they make a comment that insinuates you as a parent don't have the right moral standards in regards to your kids. They are making a quick judgment call off of one moment or one phrase or one photo. And we look into somebody's life in a microscopic moment and say, hey, this is truth for your house because I can see that in this behavior, this is what's going on. And that's a troubling thing to do, man, to be able to look in. Because I look at my own kids sometimes and I don't recognize them because I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah. And I think that, again, now I have, and I know you do find this hard to believe, I have not responded, which is interesting because, I did respond and deleted, which is a good method, by the way, of responding.
Say everything you want.
Say everything you want, get it out, but delete it.
Do you know how many letters in anger I have written to my wife?
Oh, do tell.
Dude, I have written some 3-page letters, man. Get it all out. Just say every despicable, crazy, just everything that I can think of, accusation and blaming and just everything, and sit there and read through it. And then I'm like, okay, let's take that out because that's not really what I meant. And by the time I'm done, it's back down to,
hey, baby, we'll go get something to eat.
Yeah, I love you. but it is a good exercise, man, because it allows you to vent and it allows you to say what you need to say without actually harming the relationship.
Yeah, and so one thing that has taken place in this exchange, or it wasn't an exchange because I haven't responded. And by the way, I'm not going to respond.
You know what shocked me the most about that?
Yeah.
Is that not responding was actually brilliant. And for you to actually accomplish something that was brilliant was very shocking.
No,
to me.
It's shocking to me, trust me. Because here's another piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
Another part of the story. He reached out again to me via another platform with the same message.
Yeah.
So he's also sat in it for a couple days and wondering why I'm not responding.
Sure.
Okay, which my personality means, oh, you're trying to control me. Oh, heck no, I'm not responding now. I mean, that's kind of my personality. Even though I'm at war with myself, so I got a war, I got a battle going on in my head because I'm overly protective. I'm, you know, especially when it comes to my family, my kids. I mean, I could never do this, but I always use the phrase, I will rip an esophagus out if you talk about my wife or my kids. So I got that going on one side, and on the other side, I got this control mechanism I got going. I will not be controlled. My emotions will not be controlled, and I have full control over those, and I'm not going to let you or what you say control that. So I'm at war with my own self because I don't know which one I should listen to the most, right? But, you know, just thinking this through the last couple of days, because one, I think this is a big problem, which is funny to me in a way. Because we hear all the time, don't judge me. But yet we got all these shows. I mean, I was just watching The Voice the other night, you know, getting judged. You know, I mean, there's all these shows that judge you based on, you know, your performance or whatever. So we're a culture of judging. And by the way, it's no different in the church. Let me make a faith statement real quick. It's almost, in fact, it could be worse because there's such a airiness of I'm right and I have to say something even though I don't know you, even though I'm not taking the steps or the time or I'm not invested in you in any other way, but let me tell you where you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's being judgmental. And here's three traits. Now I read this article quite a bit a long time ago. And I just happened to remember it. It's about Christopher John Lindsay. You can go back. I can't even remember the name of the article. I just remember.
Who's that?
He's just a writer. Okay. I think he's a psychiatrist.
Gotcha.
I think he's a psychiatrist. I hope I didn't get that wrong. But this was back like 2016, 17, somewhere around in there that I remember reading this article about judgmental people. And it was like, man, this was a really well-written article. And it was easy to remember. So I went back and tried to find that. And I did find it. But he had three common traits of judgmental people. Now, listen, based on the story we just said, okay, overly critical or hypercritical. They show no respect for the person they're critical of. And they justify what they say because they believe it's true. So you have to look at yourself. And again, I can look at this other guy all day long, but I have to point my fingers to myself first and ask the question, am I being overcritical of being criticized?
Now that's good.
Right? So I'm taking something that was done to me, go, let me check myself first.
Yeah.
And not toward him, by the way. Now it makes me question, not if, where am I being judgmental?
Yeah.
Because I'm a human being, right? So where am I being overcritical? Where am I showing no respect for the person that I'm critical of? Because you have to show no respect to be critical. You have to show no respect in order to be critical.
Hypercritical.
It's overly critical. It's a hypercritical, overly critical. And then we justify what we say because now it's my truth is more important than this relationship, right? So by this gentleman reacting to me in such a way proved to me that he felt like what he was feeling was so true that without relationship, without investment, he had to say something because he doesn't trust that the people in my life and the men in my life are saying the exact same thing. So therefore, he's got to say it, which tells me, by the way, that he has no men in his life telling him and checking him up and saying, why did you do that? Because I'm telling you, my dudes would have said how many guys can I name?
Yeah.
Right. That would go, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because what they would have come to me and go, hey, I'm concerned about this. What's going on? They would have asked questions instead of being accusing.
Yeah. I guess the weirdest thing for me is when we engage each other and we're hoping for like some kind of good outcome, we think through what we're about to say. And so we can phrase things all the time in two different ways. We
sure.
can phrase things to get reaction, or we can phrase things to maintain and create relationship. Like, it doesn't take you long. They call it a IQ, the relational.
Oh, the emotional IQ?
Yeah, emotional IQ. I mean, if you spend any amount of time engaging people and hoping to have great outcomes.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't take you very long to figure out what not to do.
Right.
When you're really seeking like a greater outcome. But for me, and the way that he spoke to you and the accusation that he made, not only against you, but against your wife, there was no hope that he would walk away from this situation and either of you would be better.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, I need to get this off my chest. So when I think about that, you know, I think about us, what is our intention when we're interacting with people or things rub us wrong and we say something either online or in our private lives? You know, what is it that we're hoping to get out of it?
Well, in this case, I believe that, and I see it all the time on social media, it's that I want to argue my point and I'm going to argue it based on me being right and not willing to listen to another voice or not willing to listen to a dissenting voice that could possibly hold some truth in it.
Yeah.
But I'm so right that there's no room for what you just say for there to be an ounce of truth in it. And that's the whole cancel culture, right? It's like, you're wrong, I'm right, and I have a moral high ground. And you got to be canceled because what you're saying is so dangerous, or what you believe is so dangerous, or what you're doing is so dangerous that we got to get rid of you.
Yeah.
The problem is, and I say this all the time, the problem is in 10 years, you're going to be canceled too, because somebody else is going to take the moral high ground, because you're going to grow and learn and get wisdom and knowledge and understand that, wait a minute, because we all do this as we grow. Man, how many times have you said at 50, I wish I knew this at 30.
Sure.
Right? Why do we say that? Because we have more wisdom, more knowledge, more life experience, more. And we go, you know, I remember a pastor getting up one time and I laughed because of all the people sitting in the room. A lot of us were under 30 at the time. He said, I wish I would have never opened my mouth until after I was 30 because I said some stupid stuff. And I hurt people with the words that I said. So there was an acknowledgement that he looked back, but age and life and experience and wisdom gave him that, right? So the cancel culture today is going to be canceled later. They're the future that's going to be canceled. So because, again, seed you sow is what's going to grow, and you have to eat the fruit of your land. And you sowed those seeds. So we just don't like it when we start eating the fruit of something and go, we don't like that. Well, guess what? The process has got to start all over again. So where you sowed seeds of judgment and all criticism and all that stuff, now you got to go back and sow seeds of being non-judgmental, right? Non-critical, and let those seeds grow. And then you're going to have fruit that is sweet to the taste.
Yeah. So things to do to be successful, I guess, like, I wonder, did it even cross his mind to ask you any questions?
No.
You know, because like I can look into a scene pretty quickly and go, oh, this and that. But I'm learning even still that if I have questions, I need to make sure that I'm seeing what I think I'm seeing.
Correct.
I'm hearing what I think I'm hearing. So I wonder why, even with him, and it's a trademark. But why didn't he say, hey, man, I'm curious.
Yes.
You know, have you considered this? Or how'd you feel about XYZ? Or did you have a discussion about this or that? Or just, you know, just asking questions to get a better view of what it is that you think that you see. Because we fail to ask questions. And I'm doing this even in my household. I'm doing it with my kids. Is when I feel like I'm angered or feel like I'm upset or offended most of the times, I don't express what I'm feeling or thinking or all of that, what I think is going on. I go in and I start asking questions because I'm hoping that you can talk me out of what it is I think I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And the way that you do that is you begin to ask questions. Go, hey, did you mean this thing? Or, you know, I noticed this. Did you think about that? And had he done that, I feel like it would have been a great kind of conversation. And maybe you would have been like, I get that. Or I don't know what, maybe you would have learned something about your family.
Well, the point is both of us would have learned.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Is that when you come at it with that kind of attitude, both parties learn something. He learned something about the struggles that we go through, the victories that we have in my family. I learn about the things that that he's struggled with, that he's had victims, because it, you have to find common ground first before you can start with these kind of conversations. Because when you don't, that's when accusations, intimidation, you know, all these things that we think are the way to enter a conversation. But we only think that way when we are a judgmental person. And how do we know? Let me say this, because I thought about this. Why am I judgmental? In the times that I can look at myself and go, man, that was pretty judgmental on my part, right? Why do I do those things? Why am I judgmental?
You think you're smarter than the other person. You think you have a better moral compass or moral barometer than the other person. And you think that you've probably settle some things that this person hasn't settled in their own lives, and you're looking at them, kind of looking down at them, going, surely by now you should be able to figure this out. I mean, that's kind of the stuff that you do.
You know, when you dip a rag or washcloth in water and you wring it out,
yeah,
somebody who's judgmental has not wringed out all the pride and arrogance in them. They're soaked in it.
Yeah.
And they don't realize how saturated they are with their own pride and arrogance. Because you have to have a level, you have to have a certain level of arrogance and pride to even make a statement to somebody that you don't know very well in a critical, accusatory way.
Yeah, emphatic. Like, this is what it is.
Correct. But they also speak out of their own hurt. So something has happened. They were wronged. They were hurt. So in turn, you've heard the statement, hurt people, right?
Yeah.
So unless you get the help or get the healing or get therapy or whatever to deal with your own things, you're going to lash out at other people. And by the way, that's subconsciously, I believe, which is why I can find a place of grace for him. Which is one reason why I haven't responded, because I have to say to myself, and you've heard me say it, I've said it on this podcast, people's intentions are of their highest good according to their current level of awareness. It just sucks when I got to live by that when it's been a personal attack, right?
Because not only at you, but at your family.
Oh, gosh, right? Now, there is a moment, because I don't want everybody to think, you know, that this is not about being a pushover. This is not about not wanting to confront, because I don't mind confrontation. I mean, some people would say I thrive on it. So, and they may be right. I mean, it does. But it's like, at times, it just doesn't call for a confrontation. It calls for wisdom, because you've heard the difference in the, you know, I could have reacted, but I would rather respond.
Sure.
And I had a good friend tell me a long time ago, he goes, sometimes, and he's an attorney, and he said, sometimes in court, he won't even answer a question because that response is his response. The question didn't dignify an answer.
Yeah.
Right. So I've always remembered. Thank you, Melvin, for that. I've always remembered that. It's like, you know, sometimes my non-response is the perfect response because it doesn't drag me into the mud. And so we had a therapist tell us one time that, you know, sometimes, you know, when it comes to our kids, they want to, it's almost like, I'm not calling them a pig, but it's like pigs that, you know, they pull you into the mud. Well, the pigs love the mud. You don't like the mud, but they pull you into it. Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're happy to be in the mud with you. So, you know, my wife says quite often, you know, when there's an intense debate in our house or intense discussion, she goes, I'm just not getting in the mud with you. I mean, she says that statement. So part of me is like, I'm just not going to get in the mud with a pig.
Now, I'm just going to speak some truth, man. And
have you been lying to me this whole time?
But okay, I know that we want to be grace-filled, man, but we need to kind of figure out what it is that we're going for here. So it's safe to say that at some point, people are going to do and say things to you that are just incredibly offensive and unfair.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, those things are going to happen. And so we're talking about, you know, what is our response? And, you know, a lot of guys have ended up in jail, you know, chasing behind what they thought society expected them to do in response, or what their wives expected them to do in response. And I say this thing all the time, that nobody really wants to see the big green guy. Like the Hulk?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants to see a man behave that way until they need to see the big green guy.
That's right.
And so we never have authority to really behave and act out in these ways until somebody else deems that it's appropriate. But in situations like this, this is a moment when we have to exercise something that we don't like to hear, but we do need to exercise self-control from time to time. And every situation where we feel like we've been offended and somebody has accosted our masculinity or our manhood or whatever, we don't get a free pass just to go 100 miles an hour in a response to people. Because one, we could just be wrong and reacting out of anger. We could be just wrong, period, in what we're perceiving that people say. But I think that the greatest exercise in what we're talking about is we're all going to meet these moments where someone has said or done something that we find incredibly offensive. A lot of times, if it's attached to our family, it just drives us. We see black. Like we just go cuckoo.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that even in those moments that we need to take a breath and begin to ask questions and figure out what it is that's going on, because people can bait us into some things.
Yes.
You know, out of some really bad intentions just to get us to behave poorly.
Yeah.
And maybe they want to ruin our ability to influence a specific group, or maybe they want to, you know, reflect and show our families that we are not quite who we say we are. But whatever, you know, that thought might be, we have to learn to just stop and not feel the pressure of society and what other guys might think or our wives might think that should be our response. And we respond in a way that is most profitable, not only for us, for our families. And for you, man, to not respond to him was very quick thinking, because it could really have opened the door to some tragic consequences, man.
Yeah.
Because we're not thinking, man, that most guys are dangerous people.
Yeah.
And when we say things, man, you know, grace and mercy does flow in, man. But we need to remember that we have the ability to take something that was simply words or somebody's stupid opinion and turn it into consequences that actually affect not only our lives, but our families' lives. And then it gives them the impression of us that we can't really control our anger or emotions too, man.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, you know, judgment of people, because this happens. Look, this happens at work. This happens with acquaintances. I'm not going to say friends, because I don't think friends are judgmental. They're concerned. Like I've never been, I don't feel ever judged by you or Shane or Ken or Peter or Lyndon or Melvin. I can start naming names of people that I don't ever feel judged by.
Yeah.
Now they have you guys come to me and go,
challenge you on something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I know it's a challenge out of concern, because, you know, Stephen does this quite often. You've heard me tell the story. You know, I walk into a restaurant to go, you know, have dinner with Stephen Mansfield, and he looks at me and he goes, "You've been eating your stress?" And I'm like, "What?"
I mean, that's why I don't want to see Stephen right
now. That's the first thing out of his mouth. And, you know, of course, I want to respond like, "Listen here, big boy, you know, you're not."
But that's felt.
But I knew it wasn't about him. He was completely concerned about me.
Absolutely.
And by the way, he was right.
Yeah.
And I had to go, man, I have been under a lot of stress, and I have been, you know, it's those kind of friends that I'm never judged by. I'm never judged by a friend. It's always judged by somebody who thinks they know me, whether because of affiliation. You know, look, I've been a men's pastor for a long time, so, and this guy doesn't go to our church, but maybe he's seen me on stage or he's seen me speak or do this or do that and go, well, I have a right to say something to him, you know, because I think I know him, because I follow him on social media. You know, it's like, no. You're just barely an acquaintance.
Yeah.
These guys, and we've said it, that accountability has given someone permission to save me from myself.
Sure.
So all you guys,
before it happens,
all you guys, yeah, after it happens, it's called confession. Yeah. That's not really accountability. But it's like all these guys in my life have the right to come actually say something to me. And somebody who's judgmental doesn't think about that at all, because they don't have anybody.
Yeah.
So the assumption is that you don't have anybody.
Man, something's coming to my mind, and you know, when we started originally talking about this, I was on my drive from work, and immediately, you know, I just fly off the handle and I get pissed off, and I'm ready to, you know, say some words that I haven't heard myself say in, you know, 5 or 6 years, probably.
By the way, I appreciate
yeah
how you really got upset that this guy would say stuff to me. I mean, I appreciate that.
One, I thought you were lying, man.
You said you were lying.
I just didn't believe that it could actually happen. But what's happening now, man, is you mentioned grace and mercy, man, and a level of understanding. And there's something, man, that I've been trying to do, not only with people that are in close contact with me, but intimately so. So like my wife, my son, my daughter, when things have been said and there's possible offense available and the discussion is not going well, I've learned to start saying something to clear it up. And it's been helpful, you know, and I'll get pass it on to you all. But in those moments, and it can't be contrived or false, we go, hey, I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to love you in this thing right here. This is why I'm questioning that, or this is why I'm trying to be honest with this thing, because it's honestly my attempt to love you. Now, I may not be doing it well. Like, I may not be loving you well in what I'm doing, but that is my motive.
Yeah.
In what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And I've seen it turn some moments in not only my marriage, but in dealing with my kids, that people can take a different perspective. And originally, I was really mad at this guy, and I happen to know him. And I couldn't wait to really chat with him, you know, when I first heard about this. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to be able to really get in front of him now and go, man, you know, I really want to attempt to love you in this. And I'm curious as to what your motive was. What was best case scenario when you spoke to him like that?
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you could really have a best case scenario having spoken to someone the way that he spoke to you.
There is none.
And that's a shame. So,
yes.
So he's got to be broken in some way.
Yes.
Because what he's seeking is like great confusion, man, and violence possibly in the way that he spoke. I don't understand it really from a grown man.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the years of doing this, I think that guys like that are looking for affirmation. Because, again, where I go to and where I try to go to, where I try to get to, because I'm serious. I mean, I had to call my buddy and he had to talk me off the ledge.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny about that. I mean, I said some things to him. He was like, man, I've never heard you talk like this. I mean, he knew I was, man, I was out there. I was like, dude, this is my family. I mean, this dude is saying stuff. You just can't say that about my family. So, which again, I know the rule, 24-hour rule. I've taught about it. I've spoke about it.
Okay.
Know, wait,
what is that?
Don't respond for 24 hours when somebody's critical to you. Because I've gotten, look, in my position, I've gotten emails. I've gotten all kinds of stuff throughout the years that, you know, criticize, you know, you should have done that this way or that way, or, you know. And I've just learned, and someone taught me early on, just don't respond for 24 hours. give it time. And what we said, you know, maybe react, delete it, though. You know, react.
Is that Pastor Rice that gave you that?
It could have been, honestly.
That sounds Rice-ish.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
Definitely could give him credit for it.
So this is another nugget. So in those moments that we do feel out of control.
Yeah.
And we feel offense.
Yeah.
And we know that society says we should do this and I need to protect, or my wife has this expectation and this is how I need to react. At least give it a waiting period.
Yeah. Be patient. Give it a waiting period, which is difficult.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I wish you could get in my head and feel the urgency of wanting to take care of something at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it was there and it was real. And I stewed in it all day. And it was funny because I was, you know, I didn't tell my wife until today, actually. So we're days past it. And she was like, man, you really held that together well, because I had no idea. And I was like, man, you have no idea. Because she had left for the night. She had gone to our daughter's house. That's when I called my buddy and I was like, okay, I am about to blow a gasket. I mean, I can feel my blood pressure. I can feel my face getting so red. The more I think about this, and it's not good. I'm serious. I was like, man, which weapon do I take?
Yeah.
Right. To let him know I'm serious. And again, that was I think that's a normal process of
an exaggerated.
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah.
Reaction.
The thing is, you can't react to that. You can't act on that reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not smart.
It's not smart.
Yeah.
It actually gets in the mud with the pig.
Yeah.
And I just, I can't do that.
You know, you're.
I mean, I want to.
Yeah.
I don't mind the mud, actually, but I just, you know.
So when we were all on the phone, man, and your wife was there, you know, and we're just, you know, having our first moment with it, and we're wrestling with it. You know, even in that moment, man, your wife begins to speak a thing. And this is a good place to say this, man. Like, we get mad at our wives a lot of times because their perspective on situations is so much different than ours. And a lot of the times we think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, their perspective. But it was just funny.
No. Let me, because this is real. She'll hear this.
Yeah.
It's not that I think it was wrong.
Not you.
No, I think it was soft.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's not that it's wrong. It's like, no, that's way too soft. Yeah.
You know, and so I'm on the phone, man, and I'm listening, and like me and JT, we're not being great friends, man, because we're just hyping each other up and, you know, taking it deeper in the mud. And then his wife begins, you know, slowly just interject this feminine wisdom into these moments. And this just takes me back, and this is going to take us off track a little bit. But you and I were having dinner the other day.
Yeah.
And we began to talk about moments, man, in life, just general moments, man, that a feminine wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And society right now is so bent on saying we are exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, we are equal, but
we're not the same.
We're just not the same.
No.
And there is, if we can get ourselves to really have a level of appreciation for the feminine side of wisdom as men in masculinity, if we can begin to give ourselves an opportunity to have an appreciation for the feminine wisdom, man, we can be better.
Yeah.
Man, we can really be better. And even as we were like cutting up and acting a fool, man, and your wife just begins to pepper the conversation, she's riding with us a little bit. But then she pulls back and she peppers us with a little bit of feminine wisdom. And it gives us permission to go, okay, I feel pressured to respond in this way, but I'm still going to be validated if I don't just take it overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments are great. And I thought that was perfect for his wife to be able to do that, for your wife to be able to do that. And we honored it because we're smart enough to know that a lot of times this feminine wisdom is much better than ours in certain situations, man. It just is.
And look, part of it is she just doesn't want to come visit me in jail.
Yeah.
So she's got to say all this stuff. Yeah. She's got to like talk me like, okay, you know, well, maybe we should, you know. No, she is full of wisdom for sure.
And,
but it is different,
and it sounds different than yours.
It does. It's different than mine, but it's yet there's the value is the same.
Yeah.
And I don't always see that, right?
Especially when it's heated.
Yeah, because it's just like, I think you're too grace-filled. I think you're too soft. I think, you know, I think you're too hyper-spiritual, you know, because it's different, but yet the same value. And sometimes I don't see that because I do think, you know, you're too soft. You're too gracious. You're too whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really is needed. But, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking through with this situation that's kind of like, okay, what kind of person would do this? Let me make it not personal with this situation. Why are people judgmental? And I said pride and arrogance, their own hurt. They're mad because something was done to them that's unresolved.
Mm.
Or the biggest one, and I think, and I really did take this to heart, is people who are judgmental lack love for others. They love themselves more than others. Whew. And that really hit me hard. It's kind of like, where in the areas am I like that? That I love my opinion and I love my knowledge. I love my wisdom. I love what I know more than I love someone else.
Mm.
Because then I become super judgmental. And for one, I just don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that guy that can sit on social media, make a lot of judgment calls, direct message people or email people or even in person, man, saying, hey, this is, you know, I'm a man up and be in person. But yet I come across super judgmental about something that I've not asked the right questions and have the knowledge or have the context of what's going on.
Quick question. How could he have contacted you? What question would have been helpful for you to kind of debrief and discuss what it was he wanted to discuss?
So here's the crazy thing. I'm not sure he could have.
Yeah.
Because where there is no relationship, yeah. where is the foundation of which you can say things like that? This is where if I really think about it, I'll start having compassion and empathy. It's like I actually feel sorry for people who don't have solid friendships that they can go to and go, hey, should I say this to him? So my question is, who did he go to say, check me up on this?
Yeah.
Well, nobody. I can promise you 100% guarantee.
He didn't get any counsel.
He didn't go to any counsel. And again, I'm not putting me up on a pedestal, but it's like my third response was, let me get some counsel on this because this is really doing stuff to my mind that I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like getting in this position. I don't like where my mind goes when I feel this way.
I'm going to push back though.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I believe that because just simply because there was no relationship. Because I say this all the time, man, authenticity has this great aroma.
Yeah.
Like, and it just, like, it smells good to everybody.
I know you're going. I know where you're going with this.
Where am I going?
So let me add this to it, because you're right. There is a past. And so there have been, not just with me, but if I look on social media at the way that this certain person, treats everybody.
Yeah.
I'm no different.
Yeah.
I'm no different.
Right.
And there's been things in the past that have been said about my family.
Sure.
So if none of that was there and he would have come to me and said, hey, I noticed this. I know who you are. And I've heard some things that you have taught. This seems to go contradictory to that. Can you help me with this?
Yes.
Now that would have opened up a conversation to where I would have had to check myself and go, well, now, wait a minute. Did I do that for one? And let me listen to him and see where he's coming from, because I have this thing. I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, because I don't want to cut the legs from under guys
that
have this thing in them, but there exists no relationship. But you know that your intention is 100% respectful.
Yeah.
Because I've had guys walk into my life, man, and say some things, and I've actually had opportunity for strangers to be in my life, and I'll walk up to them and say things, but having said them in such a way that in a fleck of wisdom, to be able to say something in such a way that the authenticity of the statement shows them that I have their best good in mind. And man, I've had grown guys just break down crying in situations that were highly volatile.
Yeah.
And, you know, ready to fight or all these kinds of things. But because the motive was right.
Yeah.
It can break through
the
fact that you don't have a relationship, because authenticity just speaks.
Yeah.
And I honestly, man, I feel like that because I know you, if this guy had came and asked the right kinds of questions or showed his concern in a particular way, I think that it would have opened the door. Not that you would agree, but you would have been able to talk to him and maybe he would have acquiesced to your thought or you would have acquiesced to his. But I just think that there's always room for us when we go and approach people in the right manner with the right heart, that there's the opportunity for us to just say things that we normally don't have the ability to say.
Yeah, I think the truth is none of us want to start out a conversation of accusation.
Yeah.
Because when people come, and it doesn't matter who it is, by the way, it could be a friend or somebody that's an acquaintance, but when it comes from a place of accusation without curiosity first, it puts us all in a defensive mechanism.
That's what we keep talking about with our therapist.
Yeah.
Like,
wait a minute, you're going to therapy, not me.
Shut up.
Yeah.
But the guy has the ability, man, to ask the right questions.
Grandpa?
Yeah. to get you to say things to yourself that had he said them, you might rebuke him.
Yeah.
But he knows how to ask the right questions where you can come up with these things about yourself, these truths about yourself, and then you can accept them because you came up with them.
Right.
And that's the value in conversation. And even when you see people that you think are living in error, if you go and ask the right kinds of questions and let them come to conclusions on their own, they're more apt to go, okay, that's true.
Yeah. So as we land the plane, you know, one thing that I want guys to take away from this is that my situation, and I hope that you, I hope this conversation that you've learned maybe how to deal with it differently. And not that I've done it 100%, you know, my whole life. I haven't. I do feel like this particular one, probably because of wisdom, getting some advice from friends early, like, yeah, you know, having people talk me off the ledge.
Having feminine wisdom.
Well, I just told, you know, I waited a couple of days to tell her because for whatever reason. But I told her, I was like, you know, we're going to talk about this, so maybe you should know about it.
Sure.
Because then you're going to come to me and go, why are you talking about stuff on the episode and not telling me? But I do hope, because I do think that we all face this issue at one time or another. And we face it in both ways, where we're the judge or where we're being judged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have to take a step back, because when you're, again, when you're judging people in such a way, there is a little form of narcissism. Narcissism is self-importance, right? Or it's, I'm superior to you, so I actually don't have to explain myself. I can just accuse you because I'm right.
And I'm mandated to give you this wisdom because I know for sure that it's right.
And again, going back to the Christian world, that's bad, right? We want to judge people based on the things that we don't struggle with.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be judged on the things that we struggle with.
Or a quick view of somebody's life.
Correct. There's always, you know, so there's narcissism, there's always a level of perversion, right? And that's not all the time sexual, but it most of the time is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And boy, that's a hard one to swallow for somebody who's, especially if you're coming at from a faith-based, you're calling me perverted. Well, yeah, in a way, it's a perversion, because perversion is abnormal. It's not the normal way of thinking.
Sure. You've taken a situation that is wholesome or benign at best, and you've turned it into something that's overly sexual or,
that's right,
you know, illicit.
And usually, by the way, I've noticed this, anger is somehow bed buddies with perversion.
Mm.
Or narcissism is somehow bed buddies with perversion. And again, it's not all the time sexual. And then lastly, it's funny because judgmental people are the ultimate hypocrites, because they can't live up to the standard that they want you to live up to. Because there's always an area in our life that is not, does not line up with what we believe, or the character that we're chasing, or what we know to be. It's like, I probably shouldn't say it, probably get me in trouble.
Say it.
But it's like somebody getting up and being super judgmental about sexual purity because they don't struggle with it, but yet they're 200 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
It's like, no, wait a minute. There's an area in your life where you're not doing the best that you can.
You're not living up to the ideal.
Yeah. Why come across so judgmental? I'm not saying that what you're saying is not right. It's probably accurate.
Sure.
But you're saying it in such a way from a place of authority instead of a place from authenticity.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets problematic. And I think just as guys and as men, as we, again, look at ourselves, again, even in the situation I'm in, if I don't turn the tables and look at myself and check myself.
That's a good practice, man.
Yeah. Then I'm just reacting and I'm just adding, you know, I had a friend tell me one time, you know, in any situation, you have two cups in your hand. One is gas and one is water.
Hmm.
And you can either throw the water on it or you can throw the gas on it.
Yeah,
if you throw the gas on it, it's going to explode. If you throw the water on it, at least it'll help put it out. So in this situation, not in all situations, but in this situation, I'm literally choosing the water.
Yeah.
Now, here's the crazy thing. With a judgmental, narcissistic, perverted, hypocrite pig in the mud, the water actually becomes fuel for them.
Mm. That reminds me of a Bible verse.
Yeah, it does. I didn't know you knew such things.
Man, and I'm going to quote it wrong, man. But there's a teaching in the Bible, man, that it says that when people have come against you,
mm-hmm,
that when you are generous with being nice or treating them with respect that maybe that they don't deserve, that by doing so, you are actually like taking hot coals from a fire and
pouring it on their head.
Yeah, and pouring it over the top of their head. So you're doing something that is genuinely proper and respectful and nice, but it gets translated into feeling like you're doing something mean because it's not the proper reaction in their head at that moment.
So listen, guys, all of us go through times, whether at work, whether at home, church, a lot of areas in our life that we feel very judged. And in the moment, we think that it's going to feel good to react to that and to tell somebody off and to kind of, you know, put them in their place. But most of the time, that's not the proper response. The proper response is to be patient, turn it inward, because it's, you know, we've heard behind every joke, there's a little bit of truth,
sure,
right? So as difficult as it was, did I have to look at what was said and go, was it partly true?
Sure.
Or could it partly be taken that way? And it may or may not have been. But the point is, I had to ask the question.
Yeah. Is it me?
Yeah. Is it me, or is it something, or are they doing something crazy?
Yeah.
Right? So I have to do that. It doesn't minimize the amount of arrogance and pride and all of it takes to say something to somebody that you're not in relationship with. And again, social media has enhanced this. But I think as men that we need to have the self-control that we only say things to those people that we are in relationship with because we truly want the best for them. Small men think of themselves. Great men think of others. And it's like, I think Anthony opened up this whole thing was great, was there was, where is the redemptive story in this? And if there's no redemptive story, then you got to shy away from it. Because that is a protection for you. That's a protection for your mental health, for your emotional health, for your spiritual health. And it's like you have to turn and go, okay, I can't take care of this. I'm not going to change this. Therefore, I'm not getting in the mud with this.
Yeah.
I promise you, there's no way I'm changing this guy. Now, pride tells me, by the way, pride speaks to me and says, you're the person to change him. You're the guy. You have the status. You have the authority. It starts telling me all these lies that I have that only makes me become the thing that I despise the most, which is being a judge. So we have to look at our own selves in these situations, again, whether it's work, school, home, being a parent, being whatever it may be, and always turn it on yourself first and say, is there something true about this? Let me respond and not react. Let me take the time to really think about this. And maybe it needs no response at all because that is my response. Because that's a part of renovating masculinity.
Renovating Masculinity is a Wise Company production and is hosted by JT McCraw and Anthony Flemons. To get connected with other men looking to build right, join our private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/renovatingmasculinity. And find us online at renovatingmasculinity.com or on Instagram at renovatingmasculinity. To support the show and our mission to help men rebuild, head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/renovatingmasculinity and take advantage of some great rewards. Until then, we'll see you on the next episode. We'll